What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The following presentation is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to a vast array of sports and entertainment podcasts, including Two and a Half Wrestlers, Neckbreaker, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Inconclusive Breakdown, Midnight Jury, After Midnight, Apex Radio, and The Shining Wizards. Plus exclusive shows Thursday Night Destruction and Kevin Gill's King of Indies podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
The opinions you love. The history you crave. This is Rant EM Radio.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents
the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast
with your hosts,
the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Between your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting, from the current to the way back, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Ray, and I'm joined by
the Mega Powers.
And we have a special guest in studio. Say hello, guest.
Hey, hey, hey.
It's the Unsilent Majority hanging out with us for a couple of minutes. Just had a great interview with Zach Evanesh. Having some audio problems with it because it ran way too long. But hopefully,
yeah, we cut it down to the wire, literally like minutes before we were going to air. So
yeah, hopefully I can get it up. But Dave, we're live.
We are live.
Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media is the spot. We are a Shining Wizards Network production. So, lots went on this weekend, huh?
Oh, yeah, it was WrestleMania weekend.
Goddamn right it was. Hold on a minute. What's up there?
My headphones aren't working.
Oh, your headphones aren't working? So let's swap that out, Skippy. Let's swap those. Anyway, yeah, so WrestleMania weekend went on. Hello to everybody in the chat room. I haven't looked. I'm sorry. Because I'm fucking... This interview ran way too long. Way too long. So, all right.
It's all good, but it's definitely going to... be an awesome one, nonetheless.
Yes. All right. So I like the whole. Let's see if everybody in the chat room over here. Let's see. Oh, look at that. All right. Hold on a minute. Let me get my shit together here. Like I literally just tried to. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Hello, Matt.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
All right. Hello, Matt. Mr. X is in there. Let's see. Big Tone's in there. Tank's in there. Pastor Sadell, I think, is in there. A lot of people in the chat room tonight.
Your mother's in there.
Your sister. Your father's uncle.
Cousin's roommate.
I have to say that.
What happened?
Spaceballs reference.
Cousin's roommate.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Programming note. April 14th will be the Rant's 400th episode live. 8 p.m. Coverage for Extreme Rules begins Sunday, April 26th at 7 p.m. Midnight Jury's going to have Joey Janela on the Wizards this week. Go check that out. And that's pretty much it for programming. I have nothing else. Pretty much. All right, so how was your week there, sir?
My week was pretty good. I really enjoyed the Hall of Fame this past weekend, as well as WrestleMania 31. I was... everybody's a critic, but, I thoroughly enjoyed WrestleMania 31, and everybody brought their A game for the showcase of the immortals, as they call it.
Yeah, if you want to get the Hall of Fame conversation, download episode 114 with Tank and Rage in studio with us. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, we cover the whole shtick there.
All right. So I brought the Unsilent Majority on because she did such a wonderful job last year on her commentary about WrestleMania.
Her critiques of WrestleMania 30?
Yeah.
And you know I have 2 cents about WrestleMania 31.
All right, so let's break down the card. Levi Stadium, they broke a bunch of attendance records.
That's because it's a new stadium. There's no one ever in there before.
It's not true. Yeah. That's not true. They.
Who else was in there?
I'm just... They
what did they have it going on there? Football game?
Yeah. Yeah, and they got a pretty good fan base.
It's a regular like season game. Was a special game,
right? So, anyway, the pre-show.
You didn't answer my question. You just said right.
I'm telling you right now that the next season for 49er fans, they're gonna. The reason why they broke the attendance records is because they put seats on the field.
Right, and that was my point. They broke attendance records because there's, number one, never been anyone in that stadium before, so there's nothing to measure it against as far as the stadium is concerned. Of course they broke attendance records because it's a bigger stadium. You're
it's
not going to
football stadium.
Right.
Yeah, it's not.
Right,
but
their
it's,
biggest venue to date
it's
is
not,
what I'm
it's,
saying.
But it's not as big as MetLife, and I don't think MetLife was sold out.
Which one was MetLife?
That was
29?
Yeah,
29.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Google that, Dave. What's the seating capacity at MetLife.
MetLife is like 85.
And how many did
they
have?
They didn't get 85.
No, we didn't get 85. It was packed because we couldn't get any merch for the kids, but it's pretty packed. Anyway, all right, but nonetheless, it was a good card. Let's break it down real quick before we get into all the stuff. The pre-show had the tag team title match with Tyson Kidd and Cesaro defending against the New Day.
New Day.
Los Matadores and the Usos.
That's like the only thing that I like about New Day is when you say New Day.
Because I sound like Ice Cube when I do it.
Don't care anything about the team, but I just wait for you to say New Day.
New Day? the match was okay. It was entertaining. I thought it was all right.
It was good. It was better than what I was expecting. You know, a lot of times these four-way matches, especially tag teams, they're all over the fucking place. But this, it was well played. good game, gentlemen.
What did you think about the tag team title match?
I was too busy looking at Natalya's tits.
That's great. Moving right along.
And Janet Jackson in the, what was the name of Janet
Jackson? She had Mad Max, Tina Turner going on.
Yeah, something like that.
She's your private dancer.
Anyway, so the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal was next, still on the pre-show.
With the winner, the year too late winner, Big Show.
I fucking hate Big Show. I hate Big. I mean, I loved him. I loved him 10 years ago.
Higher chance on Monday night. I have nothing against the Big Show.
Hold on, Dave. Hello, Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Matt?
Nothing. Just getting in early with a road report. Man, who's got a WrestleMania hangover?
I don't.
Three days later.
Don't you? Oh, she bailed once I got on. What's up with that?
No, she's here.
Oh, I thought she said later.
No, I said 3 days later.
Oh, well, with your hangover. You got the Raw after. That's kind of part of WrestleMania. It's just that Tuesday on, you just get a wrestling ice cream headache. So we're kind of throwing it back here with our road report. And we're at Shady Acres Retirement Home. So we're just going to kind of pull back from the wrestling, and we're going to watch all the episodes of Lonesome Dove with Bret Hart in it. A whole marathon of Lonesome Dove.
How many episodes was he for that show?
Yeah, it's a good show. So we're just
avoiding my question. All right.
Too many. He was in too many episodes. Even one was more than enough.
He was in enough. He was in enough episodes. So we're just kind
of... have a marathon at a retirement home.
Well,
which
and,
is like
know,
two we... before nap time hits.
Yeah. Well, we're going to party hard all night till about 8 o'clock. So...
it's like 9 o'clock right now.
Yeah, well...
they're in the Midwest.
West Coast.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's prime time, 6 o'clock right now. So it's evening time. And we have the caviar for old people, which is Jell-O. Old people love Jell-O, so that's old people caviar. So what we're doing is we are doing Norman Smiley Jell-O Jigglers. So everyone can do the big wiggle with your Norman Smiley Jell-O Jigglers. And to go with the entree of the evening to commemorate the Burger King debacle that happened on WrestleMania weekend at Castle Phil, thanks to the new Rant EM tag team, the Handicap Homies, which would be Rage and Tank.
Didn't want to walk down and get chicken fries down the block.
Yeah, the Handicap Homies. We're doing White Weasel fries for all the folks here. So come on out, get your White Weasel fries, get your Norman Smiley Jell-O Jigglers, and we're just going to kick back and watch some Lonesome Dove.
And not listen to our show, is that it?
Well, you know, we got it on in the background, but they can't keep up. The closest thing these people have to a computer is a Commodore 64, maybe.
No, it's an abacus and a mouse on a wheel.
There you go.
There we go. An abacus.
That's how they compute.
All this fancy technology. So I thought I'd
Robbie the robot over there with a cane.
Robbie the robot. Yep.
Dave's.
What I do is I tape Turnbuckle Throwbacks on a cassette and then I put it in a Teddy Ruxpin, and then they enjoy that because they think the bear's alive. It's great. It's really great to hear Phil Rea come through on a Teddy Ruxpin. So, and Dave Mega Powers.
I just want to
let you guys go. They're bringing out the carts now, so it's going to get wild and crazy. So we'll talk to you guys next week.
Having fun with Geriatrics. Matt, you're the best, man. Thanks so much for hanging out.
Later, gang.
All right, peace out. Buddy. Maniac Matt Squires.
He is a fucking maniac.
Love that dude, man. He is the best.
Old people caviar.
Old people caviar. Ah, nobody's in the room. All right. Fucking chat room's hopping tonight. All right. Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Before Matt interrupted, I hate the Big Show.
I called it from the start. From the bell, I said it's Big Show.
She did.
All people were calling that a year ago, so.
Well.
I'm glad.
Right, my psychic predictions finally came to fruition.
Free reading.
I have a gift, people.
Well, at least we saw Mizdow break up. That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll give Damian Sandow a nice rub now.
Hideo Itami made his first WrestleMania appearance.
There were some good spots in there, even though I hate Big Show. That was a good spot with him and Big Show. I enjoyed that.
All this Big Show hate.
You know what? Here's the deal. He was good 10 years ago, but that spot could be for somebody else. What about Big Kaz from NXT? He could be the next Big Show.
I don't know about that.
Dude, the guy's 7 foot. He's mega athletic from Queens and on partial. But, you know.
So you're biased.
I am biased, but the guy's good. I could see if he sucked and I was biased, but he doesn't.
He's Big Show good, so.
Come on, dude. He's thinner, a little more agile. He's better looking.
So you're playing the aesthetic card as well.
What's that?
You're playing the aesthetic card. I thought you were a big man. I thought you liked some meat on them
bones. I do like the big boys, but listen, once in a while, I'm just saying that particular spot can be taken by somebody else, not by 45-year-old fucking Big Show.
Well,
right, because what's the point of giving him this memorial title? Then again, Cesaro, like, I thought the impetus was, like, this is your push over, but they didn't do anything with Cesaro.
He just pushed Big Show over the top rope.
And that's been the problem. They don't push the better guys.
They did give Cesaro a bit of a push with putting him with Heyman, but, you know, that just kind of fell apart.
Yeah,
you know?
fizzled out.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's just part of, you know, Cesaro is still kind of like in that Balky Bartakamoose kind of, you know, state. You know, he's still like the funny foreigner, and he still plays that up if you listen to the interviews now. And it's kind of like, well, that worked on the indies, and people still like love him in WWE now. But, you know, how is that going to translate into like a threat in the ring? Like, we know the guy's strong. We know he's this lean, you know, 6 foot plus dude. But still, like, you know, he doesn't really have any, heat with anybody, you know, storyline-wise. And, you know, at the end of the day, they got to have something juicy for the guy. And the guy has to embrace it. He's got to, you know, I think he's got to drop some of the foreign guy shtick, even though he is a foreign guy. But, you know, leave the, phrases like American Express, don't leave home without it. Or, you know, the corny stuff that he says, as funny as it is. But, you know, if the guy's going to go up in the top of the cards, you know, he's really got to change up his game, in my opinion.
And even in the indies, he was more of a tag team wrestler anyway, so I do prefer him in a tag team. I prefer him.
King's Wrestling, Chris Hero.
Yeah.
Who would you tag him with?
Well, there's a bunch.
Tag with Tyson Kidd.
Right now he's with Tyson Kidd. Mm-hmm. You could pair him up with anybody. He's one of those guys. You know what I'm saying? He can hold his weight. You can put him with anybody, and you know. But I would obviously get his old partner back, Chris Hero. But they released him in NXT, so that's another story.
Now he's like 3,000 pounds.
Yeah, he is what it is. All right, your next match was the opening match. Technically, was the IC Championship ladder match. Bad News Barrett, your champion, defending against Ziggles, R-Truth, Dean Ambrose, Luke Harper, Stardust, and D-Bry. Dave,
he's back at the opening of the card again.
We were all in the same room. I thought that was entertaining. That one spot that Ambrose took when he fell on top of the ladder and split it in half.
Yeah.
Jesus
Christ. He went through the friggin' ladder.
Terrible. Just terrible. Oh, God. It was painful looking.
Guy.
People are complaining about Daniel Bryan getting a belt. This is gonna do two things. It's gonna take.
Wait a second. How are they complaining about the belt? Like the guy's still like a top guy.
Well, because the
made more sense for him to win the match.
I know that. You know that. She knows that because she hangs out with me.
The rest of the world doesn't
right.
know it.
But the wrestling world is just ignorant because it just takes him out of the title picture for now because they're still worried about his injuries. B, it puts a little more respectability back in the Intercontinental Championship, which it hasn't had. And we'll get to John Cena's U.S. title win in a few minutes. Same thing, I think, anyway. This might be the turning point where they have to say, hey, you know, maybe these belts need to be a little more significant like they were back in the day. So yep. I didn't have a time. Everybody had great spots. R-Truth was really good. Ambrose was great. Luke Harper was, you know, whatever. He's a big man. He's whatever it is. But I thought Stardust was good. Ziggles is always good. Bad News Barrett always comes correct. I thought it was a good match.
Yeah.
All right. The next match was Phil's laundry break. I left all you guys in the living room, did a little laundry. I got some more food by my wife's amazing spread. AJ Lee and Paige versus the Bella Twins. Do we care? Anybody? Any thoughts? What?
I cared.
All right. So how did you feel about the match?
You know, I always enjoy a match in the Broads division. And, well, I think in general, I think they did well. You know, there's the whole, wait, what's that, like, hashtag that they're throwing around for the Divas? Give Divas a chance. And, you know, they're all talented. They put out a decent match. You know, granted, it's not going to steal the show or anything, but, you know, I think some of the disconnect, you know, with some of this is just, I don't know, like, some of the, you know, all these women, majority of them are on, you know, Total Divas, which is on E. I talked with a friend of mine about this. It just seems like a lot of them just kind of don't want to let the other person get one over on the other. Like the Bellas, like regardless of what position that they're in, doesn't matter if they get pinned or whatever. It just seems like they're just kind of like not selling like their losses or anything like that. They're just trying to continuously put themselves over, you know. Which doesn't look right for the matches, doesn't really, you know, give a clear indication if they're pissed off about losing or not. Just kind of takes away from, you know, what the matches are about. Still was a good match, but I think in general, just kind of leaves me, you know, I just kind of feel numb from, you know, not caring because, you know, nobody's really putting the other one over at all.
That's because the Bella Twins are just like a snooze fest. There's nothing.
They're not entertaining. Yeah, they're not entertaining anymore. It's not. No. You know, they're not.
They were better off back in the day when they first started, where I hate to say it, but just when they just didn't have them saying much at all, but just showing up on screen, you know, for little part of somebody else's vignettes.
And the novelty of twins was pretty big, you know, twin magic. Who is it? Oh, you're going to fool the ref.
Sexual fantasy.
Right, but it's a little stale now. And the whole Divas division, like, who's left? Like, I feel like I'm always watching the Bella Twins, AJ, and Paige in some form or rotation.
And they got
four of them together, or they're one-on-one. Like, Michael was watching... What was it, the pay-per-view from 2010 afternoon when I got home?
Yeah.
And Alicia Fox was on. I'm like, wait a minute, what happened to this broad?
Right, she was watching the Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view and had Alicia Fox and Eve Torres and a bunch of other dish rags. But the problem is, too, is they have a bunch of chicks in NXT right now. And they got four different girls right now that they can
bring them bitches up.
Well, they brought the Emma chick up, remember her? And they brought her back down.
Work out.
Because
a lot of the people that they bring up from NXT, it's kind of like either sink or swim. And
because they're not giving them like the
right. It's a different environment as opposed to wrestling in the same arena like every week, and then you know going around touring. You know that's one thing I'm sure. As high tech as the performance center is, like they have to have these guys touring, and it seems like they're going to be doing that soon with NXT. Actually, funny enough, our guest tonight, Zach Evanesh, actually one of his friends is one of the trainers over there. And but you know, the deal is for these guys, doesn't matter what you know their background is, whether they wrestled in Japan or whatnot, but. You know, the way guys really learn their craft is by performing in different kinds of audiences in different towns and different states where, you know, those fans have different needs. They want to see, you know, they expect different things, you know?
We're spending way too much time on Divas.
Yeah. Anyway, let's
let's move on. Bray Wyatt versus The Undertaker. Undertaker had his sitcom dad haircut. He had
the Dirty Harry haircut from the WrestleMania 21 commercial.
He just picked the kids up from soccer practice.
I don't know where I was during this match, but I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I think you put the boy to bed, actually. The match was okay. Undertaker looked better than he did last year.
Oh, man, he was much bigger last year, bigger than last year. He looked like he was in shape last year. He kind of looked, I don't want to say he looked sickly, but, you know, to a degree, he kind of had that. Looked to him like he was in much better shape, looked more, you know, vigorous, more alive this time around, and the match was pretty decent.
Someone in the room, I don't know if it was Tank or my son's dad, I don't know, one of them made, well, he looks great. And I was like, well, if you worked once a year, you better look great. He legit works once a year. Like, that's the best job in the world. Ah, I'll wait 364 days and I'll go to the gym twice a week. You know, bang my hot wife who's 25 years old and 25 years younger than me, you know.
Well, hey, to quote Brock Lesnar on ESPN, you know, gets to work part-time and gets paid full-time money.
You ain't not lying. The match was okay. The match was okay. I got nothing out of it. Dave, anything from this match?
It felt like less scripted than the previous years.
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, it seemed like more, I don't want to say that they called, you know, I can't tell if they called in the ring or not, but it just seemed more natural, more fluid, and, you know, I feel Bray Wyatt's kind of like losing his mystique, you know, over the years, and, you know, I felt that kind of happened because of his tweener status and, you know, fans just being into what he was doing.
I really hope next year is his last year, and I hope I'm there for it. You know, I another guy taking up a space. Let's give the kids a rub. Let's recite.
Well, it's kind of hard now because, you know, one of the things that's like talked about quite a bit is, you know, a lot of the younger guys aren't stepping up. So
well then they got to change the script around. We'll talk about that later on in the game. I thought the next match was good. U.S. Championship. Rusev coming out with the tank was pretty cool.
That was pretty epic. I felt like everyone's entrances this year were like one step over.
They do a really good job in making the stage bigger and giving the bigger people, the bigger talent, the nice intros. And I think that's cool. And we'll get into Triple H's in a minute, which stings also. But John Cena came out with a little bit of a lackluster entrance after Rusev did. He had his new T-shirt. And with all the graphic behind him, but the graphic, like my wife mentioned, is really cool. It had like the broad side of it was they had like the entire backdrop was the character's entrance, which is cool. I like that. But the tank fucking ruled.
Yeah, definitely.
And
not too often you actually see a tank at a wrestling.
Yeah, and the goose stepping guys. It was really. I mean, I liked all that. That was awesome.
Stepping guys.
And I know the character is crazy old, like in terms of storyline. I love Rusev's character. I liked it when Nikolai Volkov did it. I liked when the Sheik did it. I liked when Sergeant Slaughter did it. I liked that Nikita Koloff did it. I like the
comedy. It's believable. That's why.
Yeah, I like that comedy.
There's a lot of guys that do the Russian gimmick. You know, he's doing a new twist on it.
Right.
It seems believable. When you look at that guy, like if I met him in real life, part of me would be a little bit scared.
Yeah.
That's what we need. We need more believable, you know, characters in wrestling.
Yeah. You know
what? How can they thrive?
Yeah. You know, and to be honest with you, I the match was okay. We knew Cena was winning. Rusev wasn't walking out of there with the U.S. belt. After beating Cena up for the last month and a half on TV. This wasn't going to happen.
And he's been undefeated for so long.
Right. So, again, now it's John Cena, your new U.S. champion. Daniel Bryan, your IC champion. Let's see if these bigger talent guys with the secondary belt, let's see if they elevate the title a little bit.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's talk about the next match, which is I was waiting for all night. You know, your boy there. The hell is his name?
Sting.
Yeah, the kid does it really good. Hold on a minute. Why is my? It always takes it.
Sting.
I fucking hate this thing, man. I'm buying a soundboard this summer. I promise.
Going against
the game now. Sting's entrance was weird. He had like this. They took a whole bunch of Japanese people from the Bay Area over there, and they did like a drum off. Like it didn't make any sense.
Like it looks cool. I don't. I didn't understand it, but I liked it.
Well, it looked good because that's the music you hear when you go to get your happy ending at the geisha shop.
Oh my god! Would you please?
But that's just besides the point. But anyway,
yeah.
It was weird, but it was. Like, weird but cool looking at the same time, if that makes any sense. But Triple H's entrance was awesome. I'm sorry. I know I'm going to get shit for it. I don't care.
No, I mean, whether you're a Triple H fan or not, there has never been in the history of WrestleMania an entrance that elaborate, that intricate, and that detailed.
Well, he did the Conan thing a few years ago.
It wasn't Terminator. It wasn't
comes
like
up in the
Terminators
throne,
popping
came up in the
and
throne
then,
with,
like...
the, with the skeleton headgear. I mean, it was He does these, but this was the most elaborate one.
Right. The Terminator heads in his hands.
Dude, the guy had Motorhead playing his music live one year. The guy is...
Didn't he have it twice? He had Motorhead twice.
Yeah, he's awesome. And I know I get shit for that, but his character to me is always appealing. He's still in shape. He still wrestles well. I wish he'd be full-time, but he's not, because obviously he's more involved because he's now with the family now.
He's a COO.
He's a COO, like legit COO. But he's hands-on. He's hands-on with NXT. He's hands-on with talent picking. And he was good with this match. I didn't want him to fight Sting because Sting is 106 years old. But they did all right.
Sting brought it. Sting, that match. Sting,
he didn't wear a T-shirt. It was
better than his entire TNA run.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah, it was better
than his entire TNA run. And I, you know, there were some times where I was really, you know, trying to push myself to say that I liked some of his matches in TNA, but you could tell he was like losing a step or two. You know, I don't know why, maybe because, you know, the crowd or, you know, whatever the case may be, but he fucking brought it for WrestleMania 31. And, man, like the guy's speed has increased, his agility, you know, I don't know if any of the camera work helped out, you know, to, you know, cover any of his mistakes. But, you know, he looks great in the ring.
Speaking of camera work, you see the bruise on Triple H's leg?
He had a huge hematoma
from, like, the bottom of his ass down to, like, the middle of his knee on the side of his thigh there.
So from his glutes to his hammy? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like, it was weird. Like,
you know, it was huge.
It was huge.
They really did. They beat the piss out of each other.
Yeah, DX ran down. The NWO limped down.
They casually walked to the ring.
Yeah. I'm going to play devil's advocate because everybody's been asking why the NWO came out to help Sting when in...
He was in the NWO.
No, but he wasn't. He wasn't in that... Well, that's...
The Wolfpack.
Yeah.
Still NWO.
They needed something. They're not going to follow suit. A couple of guys had a lot of valid points about that. It didn't make any sense. I thought it made no sense.
They were WCW guys, you know. Like, part of a lot of the promos from Stephanie McMahon, Triple H, was they were just harping on, like, you're WCW, we're WWE.
I guess.
So, plain and simple, you know, it may not have made complete sense to everybody, but, you know, Sting was part of Wolfpack, which was NWO, had Kevin Nash and Scott Hall in it. And, you know, he was part of WCW, which was NWO, and he was getting backed up.
And
at the end of the day, it made people fucking lose their minds. Like, yeah. Our whole house was like, what just happened?
Right, and then what put the nail in Sting's coffin was Shawn Michaels coming out of nowhere and with his one good eye and super...
with his Duggan eye.
And he was super kicking Sting in the puss and knocked him out.
No, he didn't hit him in the groin.
It hit. But I thought the match was good. All right. Seth Rollins.
Oh, until the end.
Yeah.
With that handshake, that pussy handshake.
I spoke with Phil about this on, you know, before the show. You know, if you go to an indie show and you see, like, the two guys, you know, that have been feuding for God knows how long, and they shake at the end of the match, everybody's cheering, saying, like, oh, they're good sports. But, you know, when it happens at WrestleMania and it's Triple H and Sting, then it's like, oh, why did they do that?
Because I feel like...
The guys break tape now and then.
Well, this happened last year, too, at the end of Sting's match, right? Not Sting, Triple H. Who did he fight last year?
Was it... Not Bro... We fought Bro...
He fought Daniel Bryan last year.
And then before that, he fought Undertaker, I think.
Oh, he shook Undertaker's hands.
Yeah, like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, but I feel like
they started massive shit with each other.
Right, but I feel like
guys respect each other at the end of the match.
I don't want to see them respect each other. I don't
want to see them fight each other continuously.
Yeah, because I mean, what was the point of this huge buildup? For months we've been waiting for Sting to make his debut, and he finally does, and it's, you know, oh, it's the Triple H match. They beat the living piss out of each other, and there is so much potential for an ongoing feud, at least for a couple weeks. You know what I mean? Like, to have that tension still be there, and now introduce Sting back in as a regular player.
Because he's never been there before.
Right. Yeah. And now you've shaken his hand, and for me, because he's never wrestled at WWE before, he loses all street cred. That's it. He's a fucking puss.
I disagree, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff in wrestling that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Like all of it.
We covered WrestleMania 9. Hogan happens to show up at the end of the main event, and Bret Hart says, go ahead, go for the match. No bell. You know, plows through Yokozuna, gives him the leg drop, and then wins the title, like, 3 minutes later. You know, that didn't make any sense. It's still part of history.
Pastor Dell's in the chat room saying, the only chant I didn't like is the You Still Got It chant for Sting. He never lost it.
There you go, Pastor.
Yeah, Sting was always Sting. Sting always came correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. X, hit me with the sledgehammer. We'll shake hands in 2 minutes, buddy.
When Hogan hit Big Show with the belt at Road Wild, and Big Show was out. He was the Giant back then. He was out for like 10 minutes.
I get your point. I get her point as well.
Yeah.
I would have liked to seen it stretch out. Apparently, he showed up on Raw the next night and did like a little thing after Raw and put Bo Dallas out for no reason. But we'll get into that in a few minutes.
Well, Bo Dallas came out of nowhere.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
He had Bo leave, so he just gave him the Scorpion Death Drop.
Yeah, we'll cover that in a few minutes. Seth Rollins, Randy Orton, probably the most sound match of the night. That had some really, really good spots in it.
Mm.
I thought Randy Orton catching him with that one RKO was like the whole room just erupted.
Right, when he walked up his arm?
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
That was the epitome of out of nowhere RKO.
Yeah, you know what? As vanilla as Randy Orton is, he's still one of the probably the best wrestler on the roster right now. Next to Daniel
Bryan. His matches are great. It's just, you know, when
he can't talk for shit.
Can't talk for shit. You know, he does have that Jake the Snake vibe, but
he does.
You know, very like more often than not, like the storylines that they put him in isn't really, you know, driven towards that kind of character. You know, was it? He had the match with Jericho not too long ago, and it was just kind of like they just started fighting each other one day, which, you know, makes sense in professional wrestling, but nowadays I think fans just kind of, you know, they have more expectations for what the storyline's going to be.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, stuff like guys like, oh, I don't like you and I'm attacking you for no reason is not good enough anymore.
What's up, Surfer? Surfer?
Bueller?
Hello?
He's saying to hold.
He's hold. All right, never mind. All right, we'll get to him in a minute.
He'll get to us when he's ready.
Yeah,
so, I don't know why he called and told us, telling us to hold while he's on our show.
Right. Anyway, that brings us to the
Surfer to say something
to the main event. I'm sorry, Randy Orton gets the win, but really a sound match. And that brings us to the Surfer. Are you there?
Yeah, I didn't realize my mic wasn't plugged in.
What's up, big man?
So I heard you're talking about WrestleMania, and that whole thing with Sting, it doesn't quite sit with me. Not that he lost, it's just that the whole thing with all these old-timers struggling down to the ring, and then Shawn Michaels like...
Oh, come on, not struggling down to the ring. It wasn't that bad.
Come on, Alan. The NWO, man.
I agree with Surfer. The NWO,
Scott Hall took a back. They
limped down the ring, man.
They needed walkers.
Yeah.
All their decrepitude.
Right.
I mean, okay, yeah, Billy Gunn and you know, they still can wrestle. So they run down to the ring. It took like the NWO like 5 minutes to get to the ring. And that was like just a normal walk for them. It wasn't even like they was
It wasn't even for effect.
Yeah, I mean,
all right, sir, if you have anything new to say about the match. We got a lot to cover.
Nah, let's get into the championship match. We'll wrap up Mania coverage here. Obviously, the World Heavyweight Championship. Brock Lesnar, the champion, defending against the new blue-eyed soul, Roman Reigns, with his blue contacts.
He's so beautiful. Stop it.
He's what, honey?
He's so beautiful.
He's beautiful?
Yeah, Roman Reigns can get it.
Anyway.
Sure, you're into the Samoan men, aren't you?
Yeah.
Who was on the line with y'all? Y'all didn't introduce us.
I'm sorry, sir. This is my better half, the unsigned
Mrs. Philip Rhea.
This is Mrs.
Hello, Rhea. Mrs. Philip.
Hello.
So anyway, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns. I thought the match was pretty good. I just got the video of the blade passing, apparently. But I'll tell you what. I know Reigns bladed, but I don't think Lesnar bladed taking the hard way, because he got like staples in his head, and you don't cut yourself that bad to get staples. He took a bump on the outside there.
When is the last time Brock Lesnar didn't get cut open during a match?
You know what? I think he's just.
He's got sensitive skin.
He has sensitive skin. She says, no, he doesn't have sensitive skin. He's just an animal. He's straight up. He's a strong style wrestler. There's nothing finesse about Brock Lesnar. Nothing.
He just suplexes all night.
That Suplex City thing. They put a T-shirt on Pro Wrestling Tees. It just sold out and beat Bullet Club for the most T-shirts sold in 2 days. So interesting.
And you know what? Nobody's gonna be talking about Suplex City in the next.
No, because now Brock Lesnar's suspended. We'll get into Raw in a few minutes. But I thought the match was fantastic. I thought both guys brought it. I also thought. Roman Reigns not getting the belt for me solidified his push now, and they'll legitimately push him and give him a better run. Not just give him the belt and let it stagnate. Let him develop as a character. Giving him the belt now, I thought, was way too soon. Way too soon. And I'm glad that Seth Rollins made a three-way dance and cashed it in.
I think we all knew that was going to happen. It was just kind of like, well, I think a lot of us weren't expecting it to turn into a three-way.
What's up, Surfer?
I know Tony C thinks that they made that call after Brock Lesnar signed. Do you think that was the case, or do you think that was always the plan?
No, because I mentioned on the pre-show, me and Tank were talking about it, that if Seth Rollins lost his match against Randy Orton, that he was definitely going to cash in. We just didn't know if he was either going to cash in after the match or during the match.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been a last-minute thing. There's some validity to that. I'll give Tony C credit for that, because I agree with you. I don't think it did happen last minute, but it definitely could have. It was that kind of situation, and it made perfect sense. It made perfect sense at the time. I think anyway. So, I don't know. I thought WrestleMania.
It was the WrestleMania moment of the night.
I thought the call was okay.
I don't know why you would take your biggest event of the year and make last second changes when it comes to the championship. I think they would have planned that. And I'm like I don't think they just changed it the last second out of fear or anything. So
let me
impart this on you guys. You know, I worked for some big productions. I worked for the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show 2 years in a row. Doesn't matter how big the production is, man. Things get changed last minute all the time.
Well, they better change their panties. They would stink after a while working on that sweaty, that hot runway.
But seriously, you know, on the other end, it's not as just for a lot of the big stuff that I did. You know, it's not as when you experience it like I did, you'll realize a lot of things are not as planned out as you think it is. A lot of oftentimes big productions like this, they are extremely chaotic. And you know, we'll get into that a little bit tonight with our guest. And that's just kind of the nature of the beast. You know, when you have big productions like this, you know, how many people are involved in this kind of show? A lot. And not everybody's going to be on the same page. It's it takes a lot of work to put these kind of productions on. It's not an easy thing. Not right. As easy as you think.
I agree.
Right, so, I'm sure that they also need to have contingencies, because God forbid there was an injury, a last minute, something unforeseen. You always need to have a plan B to kind of roll with.
Yeah, but I do see Surfer's point about, you know, you making a last minute change for the championship.
Yeah,
not that they don't have contingency plans. I mean, of course they would have that. I just don't think if they decided that this is going to be a champion, that the last second. They made a decision based on Brock Lesnar signing, even though he's not going to be back until like summertime, maybe.
Yeah, possibly. He'll be back. He'll be back before SummerSlam, hopefully. All right, so let's grade it, man.
Oh, y'all didn't talk about Ronda Rousey.
Oh yeah, Ronda Rousey? Rock.
Yeah.
All right, so. Rousey. All right, so. Before this all goes down. Stephanie and Triple H come back out, and they, you know, they announce the attendance record, and they they, you know.
Right, it's filler. I felt like there was a lot of filler in this as well.
Yeah. Well, I think they needed to ad lib just to move, because, you know, they wanted, you know, here's the thing, too. They're doing a 4-hour show, and you have to be on time with this shit. Because, it's just like, this is global. Like, this is no joke. This is your Super Bowl.
Hey, you know, one thing that slightly goes over can completely alter the rest of the show.
Right. Speaking of production wise. So they're in there gloating and they're shit talking and whatnot. And this is my ring. This is my company. Da da da.
You're my crowd.
And then the music hits and here comes The Rock. Everybody in the room pops, obviously. The crowd goes bananas there. My wife is taking the Macho King figure and hitting her microphone with it.
Okay.
Please don't do that. And then the, Rock comes in the ring. It's not your ring. It's their ring. And da-da-da. And so she's like, now Stephanie gets in his face and slaps him in the mouth. Okay. Rock doesn't retaliate. Rock, she tells the Rock, get out of my ring. Da-da-da. So Rock gets out, walks along ringside. And who's ringside? Ronda Rousey. Looks at Stephanie, looks at Ronda. Crowd pops. Bring Ronda in. And there we go. So now there's more shit talking. I can't hit you. She can hit you. Well, Stephanie's like, well, I have no problem with Ronda, but this is, you know, this is my ring. So Ronda's like, well, any ring that I step into is my ring. So then now they're shit talking. Triple H's like, I had enough of this talking. So Rock's like, yeah, me too. Rock goes and starts slapping up Triple H. And then as Triple H is coming out of the slapping, Ronda Rousey hip tosses him. Triple H rolls out of the ring. Stephanie gets mad, pushes Ronda. Ronda looks at her and goes, nay, nay. Gets her in some silly little armbar. And Stephanie kind of submits and taps as she's rolling out of the ring.
Just like a pig and uncles.
And that was pretty much it, you know. Entertaining. I liked it. It was fun.
What is that going to lead to, though?
That's the thing. That was the $99,000 question, dude. I don't know. Is she still under contract with UFC? I know there was talk
over in UFC.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's another thing, too. I'm just sick of seeing her matches because there's nobody on her level. This is like a natural progression for her. If she would come into pro wrestling, I think she'd change the game. She's a fourth degree or a fifth degree judo black belt. That's like a... Like
she's been training since she was a kid.
Jean LaBelle was her trainer. Like forget it, man. She's in her realm, in her world, she's the bee's knees, but there's no chick on her level, and she can't fight dudes in UFC, obviously. So this would be the natural progression for her. I think she should be a wrestler.
There's no chicks on her level here either.
But that's the thing, though. There are. It's scripted. You can build her up. They're like the same way they built Lesnar up. Lesnar was this indestructible guy, and you find flaws. That's why wrestling is so cool.
Yeah, but okay. Listen, I hope I'm not sounding chauvinistic here, okay?
Not you.
Okay.
Okay, so that's leading up to you sounding chauvinistic.
No, okay. Let me try to explain this. Okay. You got Lesnar, 280 pounds, big, bulking dude, no neck. Okay. But there are other guys in the wrestling, his size are bigger, okay? So at some point, you can believe, somebody can take Lesnar. You know, you saw the Big Show toss him across the ring like he was a fidget. You know, it can be done. Now, Ronda Rousey gets into the ring with these divas. They're athletic, but they're not fighters on her level. So nobody's going to buy into it. Nobody's going to believe that someone can come along and beat her, ever.
Right. I agree.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Right, and for this, I mean, this is the other...
Go ahead.
Oh, so this beautiful thing about this is it doesn't need to lead to anything, because this is part of, like, sort of the WWE master plan, in a way. They have you guys, or all of us, kind of wrapped around.
Drinking the Kool-Aid, yeah.
Right. We're drinking, right, because now this has sparked 1,000 conversations.
Yep.
People are going to watch to see if she shows up again.
Exactly. And she doesn't ever need to. It could have been a one-and-done kind of thing just for the moment, and it got its point across and then some.
Well, maybe they might try to, I don't know, SummerSlam or something, her and Stephanie. Could you see that happening?
No way. There's no – it would be like the worst thing ever, because Stephanie is in no way, shape, or form – again, on Ronda Rousey's level.
Yeah, so but it's wrestling is my thing, and you're stepping into my business.
Right, but how long is that match going to last? She knocks out bitches for real in 7 seconds.
But you know what, though? It's the same. When Vince McMahon did it and called out wrestlers, it was the same thing. Like when Vince was doing the evil Mr. McMahon character, he'd call Austin out to a match. Austin would come out, drop him on his face. The Rock would do it. It makes sense for entertainment value. I don't think it gives any. She's already legitimately a badass. But for that, though, I agree with Surfer. You could definitely. That's a moneymaker right there. You could put asses in seats.
If I was Ronda Rousey, there'd have to be a ton of money for me to come back.
And there is. They'll give it a money. Yeah.
To be gimmicky because or scripted when I'm a legitimate.
She's bored. She's fucking bored. Have you seen any of her fights? They're less than 3 rounds. Some of them don't even last than round. There's no chick on her level.
Last one was 14 seconds.
There's no chick in mixed martial arts right now on her level.
I mean, would you take $3 million to get beat up for real or take $3 million to play get beat up?
Fuck yeah, I would take $3 million to get fake beat up.
I don't know, because she's not getting beat up in UFC, so taking bumps in WWE actually might be the opposite.
They did it with Brock Lesnar, too.
They're still trying to hit her for real in UFC. Whether they can or can't is a different story.
Exactly. All right, so let's go around the horn here. Let's start with my lovely, the Unsilent Majority. Great, 1 to 10, 1 being the worst. How'd you give this pay-per-view?
I'd say it was an 8.
8 out of the 5 WrestleManias that you've viewed with me so far? The best one, you think?
Of all of the components, and I'm judging on the broad scale, it was an 8. Production value was probably a 9. You know what I mean? Like, athleticism was probably between a 7 and a 9.
Yeah, because even the Divas were okay. Yeah, okay.
Right.
All right, so okay.
Right, so it wasn't perfect, but it wasn't the worst I've ever seen. It's a solid 8.
All right, Mega Powers?
You know, I'm going to say 8 because it was great.
How about you?
You know, going into WrestleMania's now in my life, I have like 0 expectations. So if anything works out,
I'm
a happy camper. You know, to echo the Unsilent Majority's opinion, you know, production values were awesome. This is probably some of the best, you know, entrances that they've had since the dawn of WrestleMania. Matches were great. You know, I'm not too concerned about the storylines because we all know how WWE is these days. So I don't really have a big gripe with that. Just, you know, I'm just expecting to sit my ass down for 4 hours or, well, 5 if you count the pre-show and just have fun and get lost in what's happening. You know, the more I watch this stuff, the less, you know, I want to judge it. I just want to see what these guys, you know, have to offer. And, it was really great. I really feel a lot of people, a lot of these performers, especially Sting, you know, at his age, really impressed people with his, you know, with what he can do at 56 years old.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys that are younger than that, and they ain't doing shit. They haven't even fucking seen a gym, let alone lifted a weight, you know. And, you know, for Sting to be as quick as he was during that match and, you know, to pull that kind of a match out at his age, It was truly a sight to behold. Great WrestleMania.
Surfer, what'd you give it?
I give it 7.5.
Okay.
I was entertained for $9.95 or $9.99. Nothing I saw, I think, ever going to put it in a all-time capacity as WrestleManias go. You know, The Undertaker, he should have looked the way he looked this year, if he'd have looked like that last year, it would have been cool. I mean, I don't know what happened between him going to the hospital last year and this year, but he looked a lot better this year than he did last year.
Yeah, he worked out more.
You know, the NWO stuff, I could have done without that. Even if it just came down to Shawn Michaels getting involved, fine. But all the other stuff was just waste, and you know, I enjoyed myself enough to give it a pass.
All right, dude. Well, thanks for calling in and giving us your
Real quick, before you let me go.
Sure.
At the end of the Sting match, right?
Yeah.
And the NWO standing there, Sting standing there. Did Sting not look like Larry Fine with his hair standing up in the bald spot?
Yeah, man. We were talking about the bald spot
during the pay-per-view, yeah.
I'm sitting there thinking, is this the Three Stooges? Because this dude looked like Larry Fine with face paint on.
Well, what was it? I saw somebody, you know, post a picture of Bruce Jenner now.
Oh, come on.
Like, oh, no, really?
Nah, leave Bruce or whatever the fuck is going to be his name
Bruce
alone.
Jenner alone.
Yeah, he's...
Forget about Sting. Leave Bruce Jenner
yeah,
alone.
Yeah, forget about Sting. Leave Bruce. He's got... He's put it this way, Bruce won't be in any more Wheaties boxes anymore. I can tell you that.
No.
Poor guy.
Not for a very long time.
Poor guy. Poor girl, whatever you want to call it now. But anyway, Surfer, thanks for calling in, giving us your input. We appreciate it.
Okay, gentlemen and lady.
You're back?
Deuces.
You're back Sunday, you and Jordan?
Yes.
All right, what are you reading, comic book show? You're back.
He's back.
I'm going to try to call in, man. It's Easter Sunday, so.
Oh, all right. Okay, but, I get it.
Yeah, so just gave my mom a turkey today. She's cooking up a feast.
So. Did you call the eggs yet?
Not yet. We're going to do that on Saturday, I think.
Oh, okay.
The big Easter egg hunt is Saturday, too, at the church.
Yeah, what was the name of that brand for, like, dying eggs?
Paas.
Paas, that's yeah. It.
Surfer, good looking out, man. I'll talk to you in a few.
All right.
The Silver Peace. Surfer, Jordan Cobb, every Sunday, the What Are You Reading comic book show, 5 p.m. on rantemradio.com. Harry wanted to call in. I told Harry he can call in, but I guess he's not listening or he passed out. It is, like, 3 o'clock in the morning over there.
Stop being a baby,
an
Harry.
After all.
Yeah. Any more from you, Miss Unsilent Majority?
No, that's all I got. I had more earlier in the week. I was much more passionate about it. But, you know, as the days pass, you kind of let it go. I'm also really very tired right now. I'm like,
Well, we appreciate you coming on.
Well, I appreciate you letting me come on.
Yeah, we like your input sometimes.
Sometimes, you know, once a year you're good.
Thanks, Dave. Dick.
Come back again. We love you.
Come back next year.
Come back next year.
See you next year.
Like Santa Claus.
He only comes once a year. That's why he's getting a divorce.
Every year, the Unsilent Majority arises from the tomb.
Yes, yes.
For WrestleMania review.
That's right. My.
You like Mumra. You like the WrestleMania Mumra. Agent Spirit of WrestleMania.
I was making a Jesus joke, but.
I
transform my Martina Torrios to Mumra, the ever living.
I like the Jesus reference better.
Ho, 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 ho.
Because I'm a narcissist.
No, not you.
Yeah.
I love me. Who do you love? Oh, Jesus. Well, thank you, honey. Thank you, honey.
I'm going to go watch In the Kitchen with David now.
Have fun, Pudding. We love you.
Bye, guys.
Peace.
All right. The Unsilent Majority. And that's pretty much it. Giving us a WrestleMania input. Maybe we'll get it back for SummerSlam.
Yeah.
If she watches a whole episode with us.
If she arises from the tomb.
If she arises from the tomb once again, yes.
And on the third day, she gave her SummerSlam review.
Nice. All right. We got really quick. Hiroshi Tanahashi will be part of Ring of Honor's War of the Worlds and Global Wars in Philadelphia and Toronto this coming May. The May 13th show was sold out. The 12th show has still tickets available. I'm pretty sure he'll be in one of the main events over there.
Yep.
So that should be cool. I have no other news, really. Take a quick break, then we have an awesome throwback for you tonight. I finally got the audio working.
Awesome.
It took me Yeah, we interviewed Zach, but the interview went way longer than we expected. And he literally ended like 30 seconds before I was supposed to go on. So.
Perfect timing for us.
Again, yeah, I had to finagle it, and I only got 11 minutes, and I got 43 minutes.
Yeah, it was a pretty intense interview, and, we'll hopefully kind of answer some questions about, you know, war. You know, what's hanging out with Warrior like?
No, he was pretty in depth. Let's go through this real quick. Sugar Shane, if Suplex City was a real place, who would the sheriff, DA, and the mayor be? Well, we got to throw Taz in there as the sheriff or something like that.
Frank Gotch.
Frank Gotch.
Mr. Perfect.
Mr. Perfect did a good suplex. Dynamite Kid did a really good suplex, like a snap suplex.
You know what? Why am I like drawing a blank for suplexes right now?
Oh, there's so many people, man. Rick Pasley, thanks for checking in with us, Rick. Should the WWE unify the IC and US title? We talked about that.
We've been talking about that for years.
Yeah, I thought they should have. Harry wants to know, is he the only one who didn't care much for Raw? Not much for the obvious reasons, but nothing really grabbed me from apart from the Brock Lesnar going batshit crazy. I enjoyed Raw. I don't know about you.
I actually watched Raw, believe it or not.
And you enjoyed it? Tell me.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. You know, again, I'm not expecting a great Raw. You know, it is 3 hours long. We've been through all this, you know, talk about it. But, you know, for what it was enjoyable. You know, I don't want Raw to outdo WrestleMania because it's a Raw. But there's like a lot of nice surprises. You know, Aaron Neville.
That was awesome.
His debut as Neville.
You know what? I had no problem with that. People said that he rushed that match. I thought the match was great.
Dude, these guys got like how much do they have to fit into that one show?
Dude, you got 3 hours. It's under 10 segments, I believe. I remember Eddie telling me how many segments there were.
Yeah, and you know, for where he's at in his career,
dude.
I'm not surprised if the guy, whoever's talking to him in the back, says, hey, you got 3 minutes.
Dude, he came correct.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I enjoyed it.
He was great.
And I enjoyed Brock Lesnar destroying everybody. I loved it. He beat up Michael Cole, left him for dead. There's a lot of lot of memes with the shoe.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Michael. That was great. Booker T got beat up. They all got beat up. They gave Byron Saxon a bunch of shit for not being as vocal as the other commentators were. Listen.
Well, how often is that guy on Raw, the main show?
You know what? People are too fucking picky about this stuff, man. It was a good show. Like, it was enjoyable. Like, let's hope they can build on it, you know?
It's one of the better Raws. A lot of people that, you know, all the critics out there, you know, whoever the fuck they are, you know, they have a lot of shit to say, but they've never been in that position, and they may never, ever be in that position. You know, it's hard. You know, it is so fucking hard to be, you know, I'm sure that's kind of like whether he knew that day or the day before. It's like, hey, you're going to be commentating like the last, you know, 2 hours of Raw.
Yeah.
With Jerry the King Lawler.
Right. You know what? And
you got to make it good.
Right. So leave him alone. We got a question from Scott. We got a question from Scott, Dave.
All right.
Scott! Scott wants to know, if ROH keeps signing talents like AJ, Daniels, Kazarian, Alberto, how much longer can they be considered an indie promotion? Well, I think if their production value was a bit better and they had more TV exposure, then it would be not considered an indie promotion, no? Because Sinclair is not this...
They're not putting much money.
They're not putting much money into the network. I mean, they make money, but not like that. So, and buddy Brian Kaufman, thanks for checking in with us, Brian. In honor of the fireball Hogan threw at Warrior during Halloween Havoc, what was the best? What was the best fireball you've ever seen thrown? Oh well, there's a bunch. There was one with Jerry Lawler and Austin Idol. I remember that one. There was Kevin Sullivan. Shit, there was a few in ECW too, I believe. I'd have to think about that, man.
Isn't the one that was like thrown at Jim Cornette one time.
Yeah, and Jim Cornette got one. That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, my most memorable fireball throw was
WrestleMania 9.
No,
but that was a botch.
King of the Ring.
Oh, King of the Ring, right? King of the Ring.
But besides that one, there was like a real old school match that I saw with the original Sheik.
Ooh.
I don't even remember who the hell he was going against, but he won the Detroit version of the U.S. Championship off of this guy, and it's the first time I ever saw a fireball thrown. Period. As a wrestling fan, and this guy sold it like his face was melting, and the guy got counted out. I guess back then you could lose a title on a count out, but dude was just like going through the crowd, like kind of like a scream or like slash kind of cry. And seeing it as a kid, I was like, whoa, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was part of the WCW All Night that they had one time, but I remember just like seeing it on TV and just thinking like, I don't know how, you know, back then in the 70s and such, you know, a lot of these wrestlers were like, hey, you know, let's just blade or let's like throw a fireball. But like there's like kids in the crowd, you know, watching this. And it's like the most like life scarring stuff that you could see go down. Especially like whoever this guy was that was like selling this fireball, it was like he was dying in front of everybody. That was my most memorable fireball.
All right. Lee, I wish you, well, we're going to the break now, but Lee was going to call and he doesn't have the number. Well, I'll give Lee a number. He just sent me a message. I don't consider ROH an indie. All right. It's not independently ran. I would call in, but I don't know the number. It's Sinclair runs it, so I mean, it's not independently ran. It's ran by a network. But again, I think if they had better production value and they had more of a television exposure where every television can get it, like the other.
You know, whether you think it's an indie or not, it still looks like an indie. I'm sure it's still being
operated. It's got an indie feel to it because of, But anyway, that's definitely a topic to be brought up on another show. All right. Any other news before we get into our break and our throwback this week? Well, actually, not even our throwback.
Real quick, New Japan Pro Wrestling has Invasion Attack this Sunday. It's probably going to be like airing for us, you know, sometime around like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. New Japan World. I strongly recommend everybody watching it after the live event has aired because they're actually not airing the main event on the live stream because New Japan is, you know, they're still trying to. You know, make some money off of pay-per-view buys and stuff like that. So they're prompting more people to buy the pay-per-view in Japan, you know, to watch the event over their live stream. But once the live, you know, event is over, they have the whole event on the network, on their network, New Japan World. So check it out Sunday afternoon and big main event. AJ Styles defending the IWGP Championship against the New Japan Cup winner, Kota Ibushi. And, you know, this match is going to be off the hook.
Definitely going to check that out with the family after they leave the festivities. It's opening night for baseball, too. So I got baseball, New Japan Pro Wrestling. Should be a really good Easter Sunday for me and the family. All right. Anything else?
That's it for now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, just a quick disclaimer. We went about 43 minutes with Zach. He was a great interview. He talked a ton, and he pretty much gave us an in-depth of how he dealt with the Warrior. Today is the 25th anniversary of the WrestleMania 6 match between the two of Hogan and the Warriors. That's why I played the Warrior clip in the beginning with Hogan. Also, it's Howard Finkel's 35th anniversary today with the company, so happy anniversary to him.
Wow, 35 years for Howard Finkel.
Happy birthday to our boy from Pro Wrestling Nation, the funky one himself, Mr. Sam, Funky Sam Medina. And happy birthday to our buddy Will Kitcher. A lot of birthdays today and a lot of anniversaries.
Happy birthday, guys.
So, and my disclaimer is that I didn't want to mess up Zach's last name. You know, like when I mess up Japanese wrestlers and Dave corrects me.
Yeah, because it's kind of like he's got the hyphen in there, Evan
so
S.
I called him Mr. Zach, and I asked him to explain. So don't think I fucking stuttered during the interview because I didn't. I didn't want to fuck up the guy's name and disrespect him at all because he's a good guy. So
and it's a pretty cool story. I didn't even know that. I never bothered to ask him, why was there a hyphen in his middle in his last name?
Yeah, so
we get the whole story there.
We got the whole story and more. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We'll be back. We're going to play some spots and then play the interview. We'll come back and wrap it up and everybody enjoy.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Yo, Big Phil here from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. When you're done with our show, head back on over to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. That's right, the mothership, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. We have 10 amazing shows right now for your listening pleasure. We have the Neckbreaker Podcast, the Thursday Night Destruction with Dave Destruction from Pro Wrestling Syndicate, the Midnight Jury and their sister podcast, After Midnight, the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, the Apex Radio Podcast, part of Apex Wrestling Entertainment. Of course, you have the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with myself and Dave Megapowers. 2.5 wrestlers, Pat Buck, Kevin Matthews, Jay Silva, and Brian Myers. The King of the Indies podcast with the OG of PMA himself, Mr. Kevin Gill. And, of course, the Shining Wizards. So what the hell are you waiting for? ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. It's entertainment here. Yo, Yo, Big Phil here from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. When you don't want our show, head on over to rantemradio.com. That's right, Rant EM Radio, covering all your pop culture and pro wrestling needs with 10 amazing shows. How about Freaks and Effing Geeks, The Rant, Turnbuckle Throwbacks with myself and the Mega Powers, The Wrestling Call-In Show, The What Are You Reading comic book show, That Awful Podcast, The Thursday Night Delight, The Rexplex, Rant and Wrestling, and the Lex Entertainment Experience. So what are you guys waiting for? Rant Entertainment Media, rantemradio.com. It's the opinions you love, the history you crave. It's Rant EM Radio.
Convicted for tasteless advertising, Joe Greed of Westway Ford languishes in jail.
Bingo Warrior!
Sent by my Legion of Warriors to set Joe Greed free. Let's boogie! No, come on!
How can I ever repay you?
With the new car.
Like this new 87 Yugo for only $87 down, it's yours for just $87 a month.
What a pal!
Bubba Westway Ford.
Westway Ford.
Airport Freeway at MacArthur and...
With wrestling superstars. It's like having a real match right in your own home. Yes. There's Jimmy Superfly Snuka. The Iron Sheik. Hulk Hogan. And Big John Studd. And now you can fly them and flip them in the swing them wrestling ring. Wrestling superstars and new wrestling ring, each sold separately from LJN.
Hey, kid.
Some wrestlers, it's just like being in a wrestling ring. With Hulk Hogan and Rowdy Roddy Piper.
1, 2, 3, pin!
Wherever you are, it's like real wrestling action. With Junkyard Dog and Volvo. Some wrestle anywhere with Hulk and the Iron Sheik.
Okay, kids, back to class.
Wrestle anywhere with wrestling superstars, some wrestlers. New from LJN.
Out of the ring, out of control!
WWF Royal Rumble on Super NES, 16 Meg Mania!
This guy's rocking!
It's perfect.
With more WWF superstars than ever before!
Unbelievable, six men in the ring at once!
No holds barred, anything goes action!
It's a slugfest!
That's perfect.
Each wrestler specialty move!
Complete mayhem!
The Tombstone Pile!
It's out of control!
The Bonsai Drop!
Total chaos!
The perfect plex.
Oh, did you see that?
WWF Royal Rumble on Super NES!
Get it now!
Perfect.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Joining us on the line, he is the author of the Encyclopedia of Underground Strength and Conditioning, How to Get Stronger and Tougher in the Gym and in Life, using the training secrets of the athletic elite. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Zach.
How's it going, Zach?
What's happening, guys? Thanks for having me on this show. This is a unique show compared to I'm always on. You know, like strength coach or some sort of like life podcast. So this is going to be very unique. I'm excited.
You've graduated to pro wrestling now.
Yeah, about time I got some respect.
So Zach,
yeah, man.
Once before we get into anything, your last name is Evan Esch. Is that two last names you have?
Yeah. Well, my I'll give you guys the 2-minute story of how that came about. So my last name has a hyphen in the middle, and my dad was born in Romania, so his last name was Firestein. And when he moved to Israel, you move there, and they're, like, trying to figure out his last name. They're like, Firestein, what the hell? Like, there's no such word as Firestein, so your name is going to be Firestone. So in Hebrew, that is Evan Esch. So if my last name was translated, that would be Zach Firestone.
Wow. Nice wrestling. Yeah. It could be a good wrestling name for you.
That would be a pretty cool wrestling name, no doubt about it.
Zach Firestone. Well, if you were in WWE now, it would just be Firestone, and that's it.
Yeah, they don't like yeah. They don't like first names anymore, apparently.
Yeah, for some reason they disdain first names.
Interesting. But Zach... Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Totally. Well, Zach, you know, before we jump into it, you know, tell everybody a little bit about yourself, because, You know, you're here to talk about your time with Warrior University, which I was a part of. But, yeah. You know, we got a few questions from some of the listeners for you because they know they do know something about you. But, you know, majority of our fans are old school wrestling fans. So, you know, let them know who you are and why we have you on here.
So this is great. So I know David, or I met David actually through the first, I think that was the first Warrior University, or maybe the first official one. But I am a strength coach, and I think more on the internet, maybe people view me as a strength/life coach. They just kind of, you know, seek me out for a guy to give direction, motivation, inspiration. But I talk a lot about not just strength in the gym, but how to take that strength and apply it to life. I run two gyms. They're both in New Jersey, and I'm also the head strength conditioning coach for the Lehigh University wrestling team. And, you know, the way I connected with Ultimate Warrior was a couple of years ago. Somehow I came across some of his injection of inspiration videos, and it just made it connected with me 110%. And of course, I had known about the Ultimate Warrior back from my younger days. I graduated high school in 93. So the late 80s, the early 90s, those were some very awesome times of the WWF. And the Ultimate Warrior was very popular back then. And to see, however, I came across his videos, I'm like that, you know, very intense. I believe in being passionate. I believe in working hard and just speaking from the heart, speaking the truth. And those videos fired me up with him talking about Mr. Resistance. All that stuff was just, you know, it's all truth. So I went to his website. He had a couple different websites, but I emailed him, and he emailed me back. And when he emailed me back, it was so cool. I remember he's like, yes, I know exactly who you are. I go to your website a lot. I love what you have going on your website. And then kind of to the effect of, I love what you stand for, hard work and, you know, no gimmicks. So we exchanged a couple of just friendly emails, and we both connected with one another. And I think we hit it off because he felt like he could relate. He had somebody that he could communicate with that had the same beliefs as him. You know, when he would make those videos about complainers or all the people that would email him asking him about supplements and stuff like, that kind of stuff also angers me, because you just want people to know that if you just bust your ass and you do the simple things, you show up, you work hard, you know, you give your honest best effort, that's, you know, the truth. And I think he loved the fact that he could connect with me. Maybe it was like seeing like a little bit of a younger self. So we started talking on the phone here and there, once a week, twice a week, while I would drive up to my gym. And it was awesome. You know, we would kind of reminisce about days, you know, lifting days and when I started, the late 80s and the early 90s, and talking about gyms we went to. And then I interviewed him for my membership website. And after that interview, I remember we probably would have interviewed longer, but I remember I had to leave. We were on the phone for 2 hours.
Wow.
I told him, I said, listen, I respect your time. And I say that whenever I interview somebody, because time is the thing you never get back. So I'll try to just interview people for 30 minutes, but we just kept talking like we were having a regular conversation. And after that interview, we started talking on the phone on a regular basis. And, you know, we became friends. And it was so interesting because Warrior saw that I was doing stuff on the internet. I was giving them, you know, telling them kind of the way I was running my business. And he struggled with the fact that, you know, he just wanted people to work hard. He didn't give a shit what workout it was. And I told him how, like, you know, he would get mad with, when people would ask all these questions and complain. I said, you know, a lot of people, they just don't respect your information when it's free. So it's okay if somebody's going to pay you for that starter kit that you have and things of that nature. So we would talk about, you know, like the simple things in life, like, you know, the honest best way to run an internet business. And it's okay to make less money because we're not selling a fad or a gimmick. We're telling people to fucking bust their ass in the gym. And we would speak a lot about being dads and how it's important to be strong as a father. We just had these like down to earth conversations that they were just amazing.
And that was one thing I wanted to ask Zach, because before he came back into the wrestling world and he got the Hall of Fame nod and whatnot, he had this terrible reputation of not being a professional in that realm. You know, but you speak of him like he's a down-to-earth guy, and, you know, you guys shared the same beliefs, and you had the same regimens, and, you know, you had a great workout with him in terms of relationship. So I'm just assuming that he didn't have that attitude that people say he had in wrestling.
Yeah, what's unique is, or what's interesting, or ironic, however we want to look at it, is I heard the same thing, because I have some friends and know, you know, people that were former wrestlers, either, you know, trying to become pros, or they knew people that were pros, and they said the same. They said, you know, he was a difficult guy to work with, and I think as we kind of talk about some stories and stuff, I think I can explain some of his stories a little bit better as why he was difficult. And a couple other things, like, I like what you're saying about that. I remember looking at like some comments on his YouTube videos where people may have ordered artwork from him or his starter kit. And there's like the two sides of the fence. There's people that's like, hey man, you know, cursing, freaking out on him, saying I ordered the starter kit from you months ago. Where is it? And then other people are like, I got it. It's amazing. And when Warrior and I used to talk, we would email, and then, of course, we would get phone conversations. He would be awake very early. You know, I think he'd wake up at, like, 4 a.m. So I'd call him in the morning on East Coast time. He was West Coast time. You know, I'd call him at 7:30, and he was wide awake. And there would be days, though, where he would you know, not respond to an email for several days, and he'd email me back a couple of days later saying, sorry, Zach, I just had to get away from it all. And he would tell me that he would just, you know, essentially go out and kind of like walk. You know, he was in New Mexico, so I guess like the desert. He would just walk to do his thinking. And I think his wife and his kids understood that, you know, him saying warrior, like he truly, like, embodied a lot of what warriors did, which was a lot of, like, that intense meditation. I remember him telling me that when he lived in Arizona, he had, you know, $1 million-plus home, but he said he barely ever slept in the house. He would go and sleep out on the desert ground, and he'd meditate so intensely or just be so intense that he had a connection with the desert animals. And I know a lot of people listening, they're either going to laugh at that or they're going to get it. And he would tell me that, like, the javelinas, the hyenas, the scorpions, they kept, like, a radius around him. They didn't attack him. They stayed, like, 15, 20 feet away from him. Where, you know, if you know anything about those animals, all those animals, hyenas, javelinas, scorpions, all those are attack animals. So, you know, that was awesome. To know those things. And I also respected his, he wants to be alone. And I've been that way many times in my life, where when you're engaged in intense things, that sometimes you're so intense, it stresses you out that other people cannot relate to your intensity, your passion. It's actually stressful. Your question, if you're, it's okay to be intense and to be so passionate. People tell me all the time, you know, stop caring so much. Stop pushing people to work hard. You can't, but, you know, you could try to change that shit as much as you want, and you just can't. You know, you can't. And he couldn't change that about himself. I think those escapes allowed him to kind of calm his body down. And I remember when he did pass away, his wife, that was kind of her explanation, that his body could not contain his passion and his intensity. So it's like he had to move on or something. She kind of said in those words. And him and I did lose touch. You know, we were in touch all the way up until Warrior University. And what happened in the most, I don't know if this is ironic or meant to be or, you know, written in the stars, but I was holding my first Underground Strength gathering. I called it an Underground Strength conference. And I'm not into that kind of conference type stuff. I don't like that kind of guru type shit. And what was so interesting is he was coming out to New Jersey the same date I was holding my conference. He was doing a signing in a town that was about 20 minutes away. And he saw that and he emailed me and said, that's when he came up. You know, he was kind of hinting to me about Warrior University and telling me, I've got this awesome idea. I want to do this thing. See when the time is right. And when he came up to, when he came up with the time to tell me, he emailed me and said, listen, you know, I've had my time in the limelight. I'm not interested in being in the limelight, but I am interested in inspiring people to live a strong life. And he goes, what you do with your training represents everything I believe in training. The way you not just develop the body, but the mind, the spirit. He loved that stuff. And he said, I want to begin doing a Warrior University. And we might do it at various locations, but I want to do the first one at your gym. He goes, you'll take care of the training. That is your expertise, and I'll take care of the life stuff. And he said, and then when I said, absolutely, I'll do that. And then he said, if you help me, he goes, if you'll have me, I'll speak at your Underground Strength conference. So he asked me if he could speak. I said, dude, you know, first of all, as a friend, I go, you don't have to ask me for a favor. Because I had been in those situations before where you have a friend and they're like, oh, I did this for you. You owe me. And I hate that shit. So I said, Warrior, as a friend, I go, haven't you ever had a friend where you just reached out and said, hey, can you help me during this time? And your friend says, absolutely. And that's it. Your friend doesn't say, yes, if, or yes, but. You know, I said, you don't need to repay me in any way. It's just the way friends are. A true friend is going to help you when you need help and doesn't ask for anything in return. So, you know, but I said, of course, I'd love to have you speak. That would be fucking awesome for you to speak. And he goes, awesome. Let's do this. And he said, you could announce that now on your social media, on your website. And I said, you know what, Warrior? I go, I hope you don't take offense to this, but I don't want to announce it because I don't want to sell this conference out because you're the speaker. I want to sell it out because coaches need to step up and learn. This is a very unique seminar. You know, we're not talking about the typical, this is how you do a website stuff. I mean, we were really digging deep about why. You know, I had my friend who was a Navy SEAL there. I had some very unique speakers there. So he said, when I said that to him, he's like, fuck yeah. He's like, motherfucker. He's like, that's why I respect. He's like, that's why I fucking respect you. And when I said that, he brought up the time where him and Vince McMahon, they were doing a lot of the legal stuff. And he said, man, I lost a lot of money going through those legal battles. He's like, but, and I can't remember the exact details of what the whole battle was, but he's like, I kept my own dignity by not bending on what I believed in. And that's what he liked, that I didn't want to bend and say, yes, now you really have to sign up for the seminar. The Ultimate Warrior speaking. You know, I stuck to what I believed in, and he loved that. And then the emails after that, he started calling me Warrior Beast Coach, WBC. And he was really excited for everything coming up. And as David knows, when the when he spoke at the conference, first of all, I mean, he blew everybody away. I listened to it on a regular basis, and I mean, he blew everybody away.
Yeah, I love that because you shared it with me, and I loved that was even on the Warrior University site too.
Yes,
just love that
so we
talk.
We recorded it. Put it on Warrior University site, and I actually connected Warrior with my web designer, and she set up the whole site with him. And so I know we're kind of jumping around with a lot of stuff, and I'm just kind of like explaining as kind of things, I guess, like run through my mind. So, you know, the time approached quick. I mean, it was like 3 weeks out, 4 weeks out. That Warrior said he was going to speak. The conference sold out like 2 weeks before the date. And then once it sold out, that's when I said, okay, those of you who signed up. I actually don't even think I let anybody know that he was speaking. I made it a complete surprise. I didn't even announce it at the seminar, the conference, until maybe the night before. So afterwards, it was like, hey, fucking, you guys missed out on a Navy SEAL, on the Ultimate Warrior, on just very, it was such a unique and raw group of speakers. So the conference itself was super emotional. Like, the way everybody spoke and just poured their heart into it, I was exhausted. It was a Friday and Saturday. The Thursday night before, I may have slept like 2 hours. And then Sunday morning, I think it was Sunday, whatever it was, maybe it was Thursday. I think it was a Sunday morning was when we were supposed to begin the Warrior University. And, you know, the way we planned it out was I would just train everybody. And Warrior would we would kind of bounce back and forth with me training him, giving his Warrior talk, his speech, talking to them about life. And, man, it was actually a mess. It was very unorganized. there was, I guess, some miscommunication in the filming. We were supposed to start, I think, at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m., and the guys were going to walk from the hotel to my gym, which was easily, it was definitely a good 5 miles. Maybe six,
yeah, it was 5 miles.
Yep, so it was a good 5 miles. The cameraman was a real obese guy. I think he, like, basically was on the verge of passing out, so he bailed out. The camera crew did not meet them at the hotel. They were at my gym, so they missed
the
whole...
No, they weren't there on time.
Right, so they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Then they couldn't find the hotel. Warrior kind of freaked out on his assistant, and his assistant took off, got, you know, worked up. Wow, there was just a lot of emotions running that day. And so we had a good 2.5 hours where Warrior was at my gym and some of his old friends. I'm not really sure where they were from, or, you know, there's a guy from Chicago. They were kind of from all around, two guys helping him out.
Yeah, and, one guy, what was it, Mike Carey? He was like an independent wrestler from Chicago.
Okay, so that's what he did. I wasn't sure what they how they knew each other. And then another guy, his friend, kind of took over filming. Maybe he had an extra camera, I don't know.
Yeah, he had like a flip camera because the, you know, like you mentioned, there was that one camera guy who was, he had to be like definitely over like 200 pounds. Like, dude wasn't in shape, but he was trying to film us jog to the gym.
Yeah, he was big. One, there was like a couple guys. One of those camera guys was more like 250, 270. I mean, he was big. And so I remember Warrior was friggin' pissed off, you know, very mad that the communication went south. So I drove to see if I could see where the group of guys were. I saw them halfway, drove back to let them know, okay, probably got it about 45 minutes before they get here. when we started doing the training, the guys were, almost all of them were out of shape. Like, one guy, Thad, was very strong and fit. David had never worked out, and most of the other guys were also, you know, had never worked out. So it was some dangerous shit, and I was definitely had in the back of my head some worries that these guys are going to get hurt. I mean, we were pushing them. Warrior was like, just fucking pick that weight up, fucking do this, do that. And it seemed like he wanted me to coach, but he didn't, because he wanted it to go to the next degree, the next level. He wasn't thinking, you know, technique or none of that shit. And I've seen guys who don't lift the right way get injured pretty bad. The guys were getting run down just from the warm-up I was taking them through. And it was a bit messy, I guess, to put it gently. And when it was all over, I was like, just crashed from the conference, you know, from the no sleep, from the way it was just, you know, me and Warrior didn't really mesh well while we were trying to do our thing together. It didn't seem to really work well. There was just a lot of stress from, I guess, the way it was envisioned on his end to how it actually happened. So after that, you know, Steve, his assistant or the manager, I like filed a copyright claim, removed all his YouTube videos, and me and Warrior spoke through an email maybe once. I feel like it was like 3 weeks after the event. It was like late July or late June. It was like a 3-4 weeks after. And then we just lost all connection. I remember one of his emails was like, hey, do you know anything about copyright infringement? I have a copyright infringement about me, and YouTube took down all my videos. He's like, all right, no problem. I'll do a little bit of searching. I'll Google it and figure it out. So he started, there's a video up that reviewed of him reviewing the time together. And it was actually a real positive review. He started a new YouTube channel. It has one video on it. And I just felt bad. I you know, felt like part of me let him down, and then maybe he was felt bad that it didn't go perfect, although nothing ever goes perfect, so I understood that. And, you know, I wasn't upset at all, but I was just, I was like, man, dude, it was a bit of a shit show. And I remember him saying that, like, TV stations were, you know, connecting with him or connecting with Steve on picking up the show. And I was like, man, when the whole thing was going on and when it was over, I was like, I don't think this thing could ever make TV. And now when you ever see like Biggest Loser, you see everybody like doing shit with their backs hunched over, like their spine is going to shoot out of their fucking body. That's what I envisioned how this thing looked. It just didn't look good. And after that one email, maybe there was another email after that, we just lost touch. He didn't respond to any emails. And then my assistant at the time, my web assistant, she was reaching out to me because she built that membership website. And then basically she would try to invoice Warrior every month, maybe. I don't know. And she hadn't been paid for any of the work. So I was reaching out to Warrior through several emails saying, hey, you okay? Remember, I'm your friend. Don't be afraid to say that you need a hand. Do you need help? And months passed by without her getting paid and with me trying to just reach out and saying, how can I help you? Are you okay? And here and there, he would do some social media activity, but he was dropping off on that as well. He was starting to drop off. I think he just fucking hated dealing with people and, you know, just didn't like it. You know, I just don't think he enjoyed any of that stuff. So I wound up paying for a portion of that invoice, which was a good amount. And then I paid my assistant a portion of his invoice. And then I told Warrior through an email, hey, I'm paying. you know, I'm going to pay for you. And he never replied. But then he did update one video inside the Warrior University saying that he had to take care of a friend who passed away, and that friend didn't take care of finances, and he was kind of giving this life advice. And I got pissed. Like, I got mad that he was giving life advice, but people that were reaching out to him to do things like pay for the service, respond to an email, he didn't reply. And I got mad. You know, I felt like he said stuff, but he didn't follow through on that stuff. And so I got to get emotional when I talk about this, because we never spoke. You know, a lot of, you know, all things were just left completely unfinished, undone. And I remember I missed a phone call from him after Warrior University. And I was probably running my gym when he called. And he said he'd try calling back, you know, so he left a voicemail. And then I guess things started happening again with the WWE. And I don't know if – I'll never know why we stopped speaking. Did the WWE say, hey, you cannot do your Warrior University, you can't continue to do projects outside of this? I don't know what happened. I don't know. You know, I don't really know what happened, and I'll never know. And we had our group email with the Warrior University, and I was mad. It was like over a year of us not speaking. I was pissed that I paid for his work. I was mad that he would tell people to whatever, live life this way, but he didn't do it. So I was pissed. So in those group emails, I was like, that's bullshit. That's not what a Warrior does. That's a fraud.
Yeah, and that was during the, when he was getting put into the Hall of Fame, too.
Yes, yes. And when he died, I remember it fucking hit me like such a ton of bricks. Like, I didn't even have those emotions when, like, I just never had those emotions. Like, I had guilt emotions. I had, you know, anger emotions at myself. Of course, wishing that I could have, you know, been, find a way to, like, be there to just, like, console him while all that shit was going on.
Mm.
And I remember before... even before that happened, I remember my web assistant, when I paid her the money for a partial of his invoice, I remember she said to me that she said, I feel so bad for him because he seems like a tortured soul. Mm-hmm. And I think that perhaps was a bit of it. Like, he was so exhausted from whatever battles he had with WWF, with just his... He had a high standard for people to just be hard workers. He wanted a simple life, and he just couldn't find a way, I think, to live it. And I remember I broke down, like, for like the week or two after his passing. It was like such a fucking weird time for me, because it was like a couple months before that was Hurricane Sandy. That, like, really fucked with my head and fucked with my, I guess, my faith in good humans, so to speak. I saw...
Yeah.
You know, I live a mile from the beach, so I saw some of the craziest shit, like the people fucking flipping out at the gas stations from seeing a mile of homes wiped out from the water damage, like... Kids' stuffed animals lined up on sidewalks and blenders and kitchen supplies and bed. And my mind was in such a fucking crazy place that I was just pissed at people that, I guess, weren't doing good things. And I took out a lot of emotions on him for simply not responding to an email and saying, Zach, there's a lot of shit going on in my life. I can't explain it, whatever, you know, who you can't judge people. And I judge people. So I got mad at myself. I got mad at him. And I remember when I was, like, explaining to my wife, she saw me crying because I kept listening to that video that they did. And the day after he passed, the WWE put out that YouTube video.
Yeah.
Remember? Yeah, it's like, how do you, I don't know the name of that band, but it's like, how do you, like, mend a broken heart? Like, dude, it was just crushed.
Yeah, that once, I was listening to that song earlier today. Let me pull it up on my phone. But, yeah, like, when I heard that, like... Everybody's heartstrings.
Yeah, so it was like, you know, I was listening to it so many times a day, over and over. And I remember, like, explaining to my wife, like, you know, you're like, waiting for a phone call that will never... just getting hard to talk about it. You're waiting for a phone call. You know, all these things left unsaid. You couldn't say, you know, sorry. It's just a lot of emotions that were just, you know.
Exactly. Hard to explain. When you built a bond with a guy like that, especially over
That bond with somebody that, you know, I never related to somebody that well. And then you know, you feel good about yourself that you're making somebody else feel good who maybe hadn't felt good for a while. You know, it was just a genuine friendship, and then it's like the carpet gets pulled out from under your feet. And like those 2 weeks after, I remember I was waiting for him to pick up a phone and call, but you know, he's dead. And it was like I just couldn't grasp it. I couldn't put it into reality, so I was trying to reconnect with him in ways, you know, like I started watching his videos over and over again, and I got his workout, his starter kit, just so I'd hear his voice again. And I'm also not a very, like, I don't connect with people that easy, so to have a friend that, you know, we spoke so candidly about being a father, being a husband, working hard, like, you know, we spoke about just, like, these down-to-earth things, and then it's lost. And his wife texted me, and she said that you have to get off your own back. She said, I'll one day maybe I can explain to you why he left, why he stopped talking to you, but now I can't explain that to you. And she said he loved you, and he spoke about you all the time. And and she said he loved you, and that will never change. So the hardest thing was the things I said bad about him. And then you never get to say sorry. You never get to really... you know what was going on, and it was just always very hard to talk about it, and I feel bad also for the people out there that he let down. You know, they sent him money and for artwork or for his products and things like that, and I will never know why he couldn't follow through. You know, why he couldn't send the artwork or send the starter kit, and I don't know. You know, I just don't know what he was going through. And the worst thing to believe is that, you know, my web assistant was right. He was a tortured soul, and I think it just I think it hurt him, and I think he wanted to help people. But you know, sometimes your emotions or you've been hurt by people so much that some people can never let it go, you know. And I actually had a conversation with my daughter not long ago, and I said, you know, very important, you know, she's young, and you know, the times obviously coming up when you're young, you know, kids fight, they argue, and I told her, I said, your heart should never have room in it to be angry or to hate anybody. And, you know, I held on to a lot of anger. And sometimes, you know, I've hated people in my life. But, you know, I learned that if you hold that stuff, like, your heart will actually hurt. And you, you know, your life can't, your heart really can't handle that. And so those things, you know, I never got to get to that point until after he had, you know, passed away. You know, it's too late. It's too late. It's a really, it's just tough. There's a lot of sadness, of course, and all that. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of other people out there that are hurt. And then, you know, things like, you know, the, you know, I'm obviously so sorry I said those things. I can't say that shit enough. You know, but certain things that I hope one day could be fixed are like to have an amicable relationship with Steve. Just like, you know, Steve is his manager. They had a falling out. They both made mistakes, said wrong things, things you don't mean, things that you look back on and say, shit, I wish.
Yeah, and they somehow, some way figured out how to make it work in the end before he passed.
Right. And the way to do it is to just, you let it go. When emotions are going, you just, you say and do things that are not, they're not right, whatever, you know, they're not, they're just not what's truly in your heart. So, you know, and I own that video and audio. And me personally, I deep down feel like that's something that needs to be shared. You know, there's a part of me that just wants to put it out there. But then I see the way, you know, all this legal shit that video right there could change or possibly save somebody's life. The one that he did at the Underground Strength Conference. But
totally.
I know that if I put it out, like the way things are out there, oh, that's our property. Oh, we'll see you. Like, I don't have the time for that bullshit. I don't.
Exactly.
I have the time. You know what I, like, what I do, like, through my videos, through my training, is what Warrior wants to do. You're trying to inspire and change the lives of people. You want people to be inspired and passionate and go out and kick ass. I don't want to have to deal or hear with fucking legality crying of shit that I, you know, truly own. I don't, you know, I just, I'm kind of like, I'm fucking 39. I don't want to, I see this, you know, being a business owner online. Like, I don't want to have to deal with whatever, copyright, trademarks, blah, blah, blah. That's all about
all the smallest things that could, you know, ruin something so beautiful and impactful that could really affect somebody's life for the best.
Right.
Hey, Zach, we got to
wrap it
all
up. Yeah.
We got to wrap it up because we're going to be doing the live show soon.
Perfect.
So we might have to get you on for a part two or something down the road.
Yeah.
Because I know you got a lot more to say.
Well, Zach, you were great. And I just want to let you know that I think the message you guys were putting out was a positive message. And I think some of that can add to some of the closure of what happened between you guys. But I think the initial message, the book, the conference that was had, and all the training and the regimens and whatnot, I think it speaks volumes of you as a person. And we're rooting for you. So we hope you get it. Continue with it. Like Dave said, I'd love to have you back on. And all the best to you.
Cool. Thanks a lot, guys. Sorry for... I kind of knew, you know, every time I talk about him, it's just the way it goes. It's emotional.
Yeah,
but
no, it's fine, man. It's fine. No problem.
Hey, Zach, here's a quick question for you for our friend Brian, because I think you answered most of his questions. But this will leave you a smile on your face before you go. He wants to ask, am I a beast or a bitch when I show up to the Underground Strength Gym?
David Paris has transformed, I think, like the past 6 to 8 weeks. You know, he used to train once a week, and you're always like, my back, or I don't want to lift that heavy, and we had to be very careful. And then all of a sudden, you turned this attitude and you always said, yeah, what the heck, and you're in the gym. I don't know. I see you twice a week, but I think you're there 3-4 days a week, and David just entered our fundraiser for leukemia lymphoma. He was flipping a 350-pound tire.
Yeah, we saw that. Yeah.
Amazing. David just, and you changed yourself physically simply by changing your attitude and saying, what the hell, what the fuck, let's do it.
Good.
It's all in the mind.
And I think that's awesome.
Mind over matter, man. Zach, thank you so
Absolutely.
Much for hanging out with us. The book is on Amazon right now. You can get it on the Kindle.
Yep.
It's the Encyclopedia of Underground Strength and Conditioning. Zach, what's the website?
If you go to my website is undergroundstrength.tv, or if you guys Google Underground Strength Coach, you'll find we have over 1,700 YouTube videos, plenty of articles, tons of free stuff to inspire and learn. And I just want to, you know, make people strong in life, not just in the gym.
Awesome.
And you got your own podcast too, the Strong Cast.
Strong Life Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher. Yep, Strong Life Podcast or Strong Cast.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us, Zach.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Zach.
Take it easy.
All right, have you on soon.
Take care, man.
Bye,
Peace.
Guys.
All right, that was Zach Evan Esch.
Yep.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah, man, that was pretty intense. And, speaking for myself, too, actually, it's going to be next Wednesday, the year anniversary of when Warrior passed. And, I think we all remember that day very well. For myself, similar to Zach, sitting at work, all these thoughts are running through my mind. And at that time, I was working in a small little room with maybe about like five or six people in Midtown Manhattan in the Chrysler Building. And I just wanted to cry. And these people, like, I don't know, I've only been working there for like a very short amount of time. And it's like, oh fuck. Like, and I couldn't help it. Like I very rarely show emotion, for things, especially stuff like this. And, man, like it was very hard for me not to break down in front of everybody that day. And, for Zach, for myself, when you get to work with somebody who you've seen on television and who's inspired you, I know you're a big Ozzy fan. If you ever got to work with Ozzy, that would be like the biggest thing ever. And for me as a wrestling fan, I was a big Ultimate Warrior fan as a kid. And, having that instance at Zach's gym in Edison, New Jersey, and, having that amazing once-in-a-lifetime kind of day with the Ultimate Warrior, he shared his personal contact information with me. I got I remember getting texts from the guy. It's like, whoa, what the hell happened? This
right.
is insane.
Yeah.
And, the guy disappears and, only to reappear at the Hall of Fame. And then within a couple of days, he's gone. He's a guy who, despite his, kind of, background, for, just kind of disappearing, he did a lot of great things. And, despite the downside of stuff, I'll never forget the positive. And, it's something that, affects us all, whether we actually knew the guy in person or not. His impact, not just for professional wrestling, but, just having an awesome life in general, can't be understated enough,
Well, next week, I believe next Wednesday is the year anniversary of his passing, I think.
It is.
And I know last year when he passed, you mentioned all of this as well and how much he impacted you and that whole experience impacted you, your life. And you know what? It's one of those things where I think because you were a fan to begin with, it enhanced everything you were doing in the first place,
mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm sure it was a once in a lifetime experience, and I'm glad Zach was on to share the story and his interaction with Warrior, which, again, that's not the first time I've heard Warrior just flaking out and taking a break from the world.
Yeah, man.
I know he had a comic book deal for a while, and that shit the bed in the same exact way.
The original Warrior University, the wrestling school, that didn't last very long. And, one thing that Zach didn't mention, I don't think he was completely aware of it, but, you know, during the filming of Warrior University, over at the Underground Strength Gym, he got into an argument with his manager at the hotel. I know which was in due fact to the film crew not showing up on time, but what's it called? His manager, Steve, just left, completely left, took a flight and left to New Jersey. And not too long after that, you know, Zach mentioned that, like, all the YouTube videos were gone. And what happened was his manager, Steve, actually had all the videos taken down off of YouTube, pulling a copyright infringement on Warrior because of the, I guess, like, the animated 3D art that was, like, starting the videos. So, you know, all those videos were gone, and Warrior had to think of, like, okay, how do I get these videos back up on YouTube without having to use the 3D, you know, artwork that was starting off the video. So there's, like, a lot of crazy shit going on. And, you know, as Zach mentioned, you know, Warrior put up a video on the Warrior University site, which did not last long at all. I think it lasted about a month. And, you know, mentioned there was, like, a good friend of his who passed and was really shitty with money and, you know, left his family in complete debt. So there's a lot of, I could, you know, just from those few stories, I could tell that there was just kind of more going on than, you know, what the fans know.
And yeah, and it obviously had an effect on Zach because he actually broke down and,
yeah,
you know, and he said he breaks down every time he thinks about it and talks about it. So,
and
you
he's
know,
a tough dude, you
and
know.
He's a tough, yeah, because if you look at this guy's, you know, his resume, and you look at what he's done and stuff he's done on print as well, he's a pretty hardcore dude. So for him to have this emotion talking about the Warrior and the whole experience was almost like an exclusive. I don't think he probably talks about it on his podcast, but
He doesn't really mention it too much on the podcast. You know, it's, you know, a lot of the stuff that you heard on this on our show tonight was just stuff that me and him talk about when we're at the gym.
So that's pretty much almost like inside stuff. Yeah. That's cool. All right. Well, listen, another notch in the belt for the throwbacks. Good job. Good work. Thank you for bringing them on. Thanks, Zach, for coming on. Thank you for the Unsilent Majority for sitting in for her yearly WrestleMania review. Thank you to Maniac Matt for calling in with the Row Report. Thanks for Surfer for checking in with us tonight. Like I mentioned before, new shows this week coming out. Shining Wizards just put out an episode a few minutes ago, so that's going to be up on the network. Midnight Jury's got Joey Janela this week. Of course, this will be up on TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com as well as all the other shows. There's no more Buzzsprout. No more Buzzsprout. So it's either TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com or you can get the Shining Wizards Network feed or the Rant DM Radio feed. And, of course, we're on Geek Life Radio every Saturday evening, 9 p.m. our time, 8 p.m. Central Time. So definitely check all that out. ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks is our shirts. 4 designs are up right now. Go get them. Speaking of shirts and merchandise, I'm working on something really big, and we should know before the end of this month that I think we have a new venture, and I'll leave the tease as that.
Okay.
Working on some things behind the scenes, more access for stuff for our fans, very interactive, and hopefully it'll be you know, good for everybody involved. And I believe, of course, Twitter at TBuckleTBacks. Follow us there on Facebook, obviously.
Website, TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Yeah,
to
man.
Listen to all the episodes.
Yep, all of them are up there right now. No more Buzzsprout. I'm sick of paying for Buzzsprout when I have the website. So I'm learning the website slowly. It's a work in progress.
We need some more traffic at our site.
Yeah, TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com does need some more traffic. Someone offered me to fix the website for like $350. I'm like, I don't have that kind of money to fix the website.
Yeah.
I think it's okay the way it looks now. It's got links to all of our friends and to all of our networks and all that good shit. So anything before we head out of here and play some music? Or
That's good for now. I don't have much to say. I think everything was said on this podcast.
All right, so next week we'll have another throwback. We'll have a kick-ass throwback for you, hopefully. Well, not hopefully. We are going to have a kick-ass throwback.
We will.
We always do. We always do. Dave picked Metallica for Zach. Ironically, 35 years ago today, Kirk Hammett was asked to be in the band. A lot of anniversaries, a lot of birthdays today.
A lot of stuff happening on April Fool's Day.
My parents would have been married 40 years this year if they would have stayed together. But that's another story. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the rest of you hanging out in the chat room with us tonight. Thanks for Zach again for calling in. And episode 115 is in the books, Mega Powers.
115 sounds good to me.
We are moving and shaking. It is April already. Hope everybody enjoyed Mania. Hope everybody enjoyed Raw. Hope everybody just, you know, enjoys life right now. It's a new season and new stuff.
Spring has sprung.
Yep, spring again, and it's getting a little warmer, and hopefully things will get better for everybody.
Hopefully we don't get another snowstorm.
Yeah, your word to God's ears, man. Your word to God's ears. All right, so for Mega Powers, I'm the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Ray, bidding you adieu. Please, guys, take care of yourselves and each other. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Hug your mom. Do something nice, and have a wonderful and blessed Easter if you celebrate. If you're Jewish, have a awesome Passover. Have a great Seder. Have some gefilte fish for me and some jelly rings. All right? Stay kosher. Stay black. Stay proud. Stay beautiful. Good night, kids.
Peace. Can't hear you.